It is just after 4 o'clock. You are tuned to KDNK, and this is Everything Under the Sun. I'm Will, the editor of the Soper Sun, bringing you half an hour chatting about what's in this week's paper and some things that aren't as well. In the studio with me is Corey Simpson of Thunder River Theater.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Will.
Thank you. And we're gonna be flying solo a little bit here without some KDNK intervention. So hopefully everything goes smoothly. Megan Tackett may or may not be joining us. And she'll be talking maybe a little bit about CRMS if she's able to come in. But the big story to start out with this week seems to be Kelsey Goodman, vice principal of Roaring Fork High School, her decision to call it quits at the end of the school year and head back home to Iowa. Sounds like kind of a personal decision on her part, but also one that has drawn a lot of commentary on our Facebook page. In terms of how it relates to last year's decision by the administration of the district to put somebody else in charge as principal and keep Kelsey in her current role. So that's one that we'll be exploring a little more in depth as time goes on. I'm hoping to check up with Kelsey and get kind of her life story in the paper at some point. In the meantime, this is a call-in show, so if somebody has an opinion they'd like to share or a question they'd like to ask that I might be able to pass on at some point, you are welcome to give us a call, 963-2976. Anything else we're talking about that you have a question, comment, or concern, again, 963-2976. Corey, since we've got you here, let's talk a little bit about Thunder River Theater, because it seems like you're using the space to its limits and then some. So let's start with the big kind of flagship thing. You got The Price happening starting tonight.
Yeah, we preview tonight and we have opening night tomorrow evening and then a champagne reception after that.
Very cool. And that runs until...
That runs, like we said, tonight through March 10th. So it's the next 3 weekends, basically.
Plenty of chances to catch that. Yeah. What's kind of the hook without giving away the whole plot?
The hook is that it's about two brothers who are estranged who meet and they reunite to sell their father's belongings, who's passed away. And along the way, we meet this really fun, engaging Jewish furniture dealer who is helping them sell their furniture.
Cool. And if folks have been to your or other plays in the Valley before, are they going to recognize this cast?
They will definitely recognize faces. We have the incredible Bob Moore is going to be joining us. And then in addition, we have Jeff Carlson. We've got Trary Matalone, who's from Glenwood, fantastic actress. And why am I suddenly forgetting the fourth actor? That's crazy. It's Owen O'Farrell, who has been on the Thunder River stage a lot.
Excellent. And directed by you yourself.
That's right.
Cool. We'll talk about the many hats in just a moment. In fact, that may be a good transition into improv comedy going on not at the Thunder River Theater, because your stage is all made up for The Price, I imagine.
That's right. Yeah, we have the show there. So Saturday, we have a consensual improv performance at the temporary space up in Willits.
Excellent. And you're a participant in that, but maybe not this particular time.
I will not be there this week, but we do have a show in March that I'll be performing in, and that one's at Thunder River.
Excellent. This is the second time the improv group has performed at the temporary?
Second time at the temporary. We also did a show down at the Glenwood Vaudeville.
Okay.
And we're always open to other venues too.
Excellent.
So if you're out there.
And you brought in, I think you have somebody involved with the temporary also on the troupe. So it's just kind of the...
Yeah, that's right. Ryan Honey, who is the executive director up at the temporary, or Taka, is one of the members of our troupe and a great performer.
So I imagine he will be able to perform on
Saturday. He will definitely be there, and I think it's going to be really busy up there. So if you don't have your tickets for that, get them. And we're seeing lots of ticket sales come in for The Price, too.
Excellent. I'm glad that you guys aren't, you know, competing with yourselves. It seems like not the best option, but, you know, it seems like you always fill up improv, so.
Yeah, we fill the improv, and because The Price runs for 3 weeks, people have plenty of opportunity to see both.
Excellent. So. And then auditions. Those are coming up here.
We do. We have two sets of auditions actually coming up this weekend. One is a really fun, unusual opportunity that we don't have much of at Thunder River, which is for a young person who can play the age of 10 for a paid role in our upcoming TRTC for Young Audiences production, which is The Emperor's New Clothes, the Hans Christian Andersen beloved story that everyone knows. And so we have auditions this Saturday from noon to one at the theater for kids who are interested in auditioning to be in that show. And like I said, it's a paid position. So it's really a neat opportunity.
And do people have to make a reservation in advance if they want to get involved in that?
Yep. They could either call the theater. I'll just give the number. The theater's number is 963-8200. And leave a voicemail there, or they can just send an email to info@thunderrivertheater.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All the theaters around here go with the RE. That includes the Crystal Theater, which we'll be talking about in a moment. The AP style is the opposite unless you're talking about a theater that already is doing the RE thing. So we're all very British around here. Is there an intent in that? Have you talked to Lon?
You know, that's an interesting question. I've never asked Lon why he chose the RE versus ER.
Well, yeah. Bob at the Crystal is very passionate about that and gets grumpy when anybody screws it up. So yeah. It's our RE. Don't mess that up when you're trying to type it in. And then one more thing, the other set of...
We do. We have another set of really exciting auditions, both Saturday and Sunday. Saturday from 2 until 5, and then Sunday from 3:30 to 5. We're holding auditions for Bat Boy the Musical. It's the third musical that Thunder River Theater has done in 23 years. And if you're not familiar with Bat Boy, it is a cult hit American pop rock musical with every single genre you can think of in it. It's quirky. It's about a half boy, half bat who is taken in by a family and raised in a ranching community.
Interesting. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. I do know that Sean seemed really excited when he was telling me about it, which says to me that it's going to be a good show.
I think Sean is secretly a musical theater junkie, but he doesn't like people to know that.
I feel like Sean has pitched some other musical items that that we'll have to see if they ever come to the theater.
He's listening right now. Yeah. That's why I have to give him a hard time.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, Sean, if you want to call in and defend yourself as not a musical theater junkie, you are absolutely welcome to do that. 963-2976. Any other musical theater junkies or non-junkies are also welcome to call in at that same number. Megan Tackett has just joined us in the studio. She's hopefully going to take mic 3, but you may not be able to hear her for a sec here. And as she comes in, I think it's a great opportunity to talk about our own event. The Soper Sun is sponsoring our traditional classic movie night. I think this is year 4 or 5. And we're doing Some Like It Hot, which is a comedy from 1959 with Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, Marilyn Monroe. Features some cross-dressing, which you can see John Colson doing his best to emulate on the cover of this week's Sun, along with some assistance from other board members and members of the community. So we're excited about that. That's February 26th, Monday. Doors open at 7, and we're hoping to have folks there. Can't ask you to be there on the radio, but you can check out all the information you need in the Soper Sun if that's something that interests you. One cool fact, Corey here has performed Some Like It Hot in his younger days, and I would love to hear more about that.
Oh, I would have paid to see that.
Megan, I was not the Marilyn Monroe.
I don't believe it.
We actually did this musical in high school, and I remember my mother knew nothing about this show at all. She didn't know the story. She'd never seen the movie. And so she came into a dress rehearsal. And when I say dress rehearsal,
you were in a dress.
Quite literally. Yeah.
And I think my mom thought that there was going to be like some physical issues with people beating me up at the high school at the time, but you know what, it was a great time. It was a really, really fun musical to do, and it's a great movie too. I'm wondering, I'm assuming both of you have seen it.
I have not, actually, although I am planning to dress up a little.
Yeah. I had not seen it until we were in consideration. It was actually, you can read my column a few weeks back about this. It was a pretty intense process for us to choose our film. we had everything out there. You know, the title of this is Everything Under the Sun. We had everything under the sun to consider, and a whole bunch of different factors. And I ended up scheduling a viewing of Some Like It Hot with our board member Debbie Brule and her family, and it was so funny.
It's
one of those classics. I think Casablanca was another great example of that. Just hold up. You don't feel like you're forced to
make excuses for the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you do a little bit because it was very ahead of its time at the time. I was surprised by that. I heard, oh, there's all this cross-dressing in here. I hope it's not going to be too, you know, that's not the only humor that there's going to be, you know, that it's going to be poorly, that somebody from the transgender community is going to be offended by this. Certainly, I can't say what folks might be offended by, but I thought it was fairly tasteful, not the point. Even the main characters get a little bit of a sense, at least as far as the all mostly male filmmakers could figure it out, of what it means to be female. Mm-hmm. They experience some of those downsides when they're in drag trying to escape the mob. Uh-huh. And it hooks you from the very beginning. I think I was positively surprised. What did you find when you were performing it? What struck you about it?
It's been so long since I actually performed in it that I'm having trouble remembering the entire plot of it, but you're reminding me about the mafia or the mob in it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually I do have a funny story that I remember from performing it where, so really good friend of mine and I were the two leads that were doing the cross-dressing in it. And, I remember at one point that I was on stage, this was high school, you know, we were young, and, somehow my wig got turned halfway around on my, or a quarter of the way around on my head, and then went flying off. And it was definitely some good times. I guess I have a question for you too, though, which is, so I'm seeing the cover of The Sun this week, which is a great photo. It's really fun that you got everyone to do that. And so at the event, are you asking people to dress up for it?
We are very open to costuming. It's kind of a costumes suggested kind of event. I myself am a hesitant costumer.
Those are the best.
I have high hopes. Personally, in my limited experience, Carbondale tends to come correct when costumes are encouraged.
It's right? True.
No, it's absolutely true. Last year we did Groundhog Day. We had somebody show up as a groundhog. We had a Katie and KDJ show up as the real estate salesman. Like, went
nice.
All in.
Nice.
And stayed in character. So I am confident that at least a few dedicated people will be involved. I'd love to see a broader dressed up community, but I don't want anyone to not come because they feel that they have to dress in drag like we managed to get John Coulson to do, or
who kills it in drag.
No,
I might say
pretty amazing. better than Jack Lemmon, I would say. Tony Curtis really, really pulls it off, but Jack not so much. And also we've given some other demonstrations of other ways you might dress up. You can go with a general 20s style. You can do the cops and robbers thing. We got an actual police officer in ours, but you could do an old timey police officer, and it's all set in the sort of the end of the Prohibition. Kicks off with a fictionalized version of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So there's definitely plenty to draw from, more than I would say there was in Groundhog Day. So the limits are minimal.
I feel like the Mid-Valley crowd, and actually probably the entire valley, embraces any opportunity they can find for dressing up in a costume. So
right?
You're probably gonna have plenty of people there, but like you said, it's fun to go even if you're not dressed up in a costume.
I guess my question, did you get beat up? I'm hoping the answer is no. Okay, that's good.
No, so, the school loved it. My mother loved it, actually.
Awesome.
I think she came to every show.
That's great. So Corey did not get beat up in high school. So if you are gonna go out on a risk and dress in drag, I think you're probably safe. And I'll be at the ticket window, and I'll glare at anyone who gives you crap for it.
Okay, got it.
That's my guarantee.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah, I'll be going as the bad guy. I got some spats already. So thanks very much, Corey. I'm gonna let you know right now. This is Everything Under the Sun, a half hour show we do on Thursdays with the folks from the Soper Sun. Megan Tackett managed to catch us here in the studio, despite she was just at CRMS, and she'll be talking a little bit about CRMS. And I've got Corey Simpson of Thunder River Theater here, who's welcome to stick around, but also welcome to run off if he needs to, because he's got a show opening tonight or previewing tonight.
Yeah,
man.
We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you.
And we got Luke looking at us through the window. I hope that's not a sign we did something wrong and we're going to get drug out of here. But for now, we're going to start. I talked a little bit about Roaring Fork. Let's talk a little bit about CRMS.
Yes, CRMS. And I have to apologize. All of our regular listeners that are my friends are laughing at me. They're like, you know, there's a theme. You're always late. So appreciate that. Yeah, CRMS has a lot of cool things happening right now. We did two stories. I personally had so much fun with both because they were both very active. They were both very physical. It wasn't just me sitting taking notes. I got to kind of walk around. There was blacksmithing during their interim week, which I'm happy to talk about as a concept and very cool. And then I also got to go to their climbing gym because this weekend their climbing team, the Oysters, are heading off to Colorado Springs for yet another state regional competition.
Excellent. So let's. By the way, in addition to the theme being Megan late, the theme is also Will not covering for Megan being late. I take some responsibility for that as well. So, but Megan, let's start with the blacksmithing. What are they working on, and what's kind of the history of the program?
Sure. It's really cool, actually. So CRMS, just part of its curriculum, has this week in February every year that they call interim. And the idea behind interim is that students get a break from their typical, you know, classroom environment to pursue an outside of the box kind of intellectual task, right? And that can take them all over the world, quite frankly. I think there's like a volcanic geology course in Hawaii and things. But for those that stayed closer to home, there were seven students that joined, actually, our Soper Sun board member, Olivia Pevek, who also teaches the blacksmithing program at CRMS.
Talking about wearing many hats, right, Corey?
Right. And so Olivia and her friend and guest teacher, because you've got to have some people helping run the zoo in that world when you've got kids playing with fire and metal. Natasha Seedorf helped manage that, right? But no, it was really cool. They had seven kids and also a faculty member, one of the CRMS Spanish teachers, joined in as a student to learn blacksmithing. And most of them were completely novice. So it was kind of a cool thing. You learned some of the basics of blacksmithing from Natasha, and you got to play. And what I didn't realize was the tools in the shop our student made. So, you know, you had kids that were learning how to make things basic, like hooks. And I think one of the kids, Langdon, that I talked to, had made a back scratcher that he was real proud of. But the broader project, once you kind of learn the ropes a little bit, was to contribute to an arch that's going to be at the Derail Park at 133 and the Rio Grande Trail as part of the Rio Grande Artway that Carbondale Arts is putting on. And I just thought that was so, so cool. One of the things that really stuck with me that Olivia had mentioned, because I do have another outside relationship with CRMS as an SAT and ACT tutor. CRMS is a really, really cool school, and it's got an amazing community happening, but a lot of times it's its own little bubble, you know? And I really appreciated Olivia saying, you know, hey, in a lot of ways, CRMS is its own town and it's neat, but so is Carbondale, and I want to live in both. And I loved just sort of the symbolism of them contributing to an arch as literally kind of a gateway between, you know, reinvigorating the relationship between CRMS, the school, and Carbondale, the town, and how, you know, these students are going to leave their literal mark on that park. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that thanks for that insight. I was struck in your story by your sort of description of all these items all around CRMS, you know, that have been the candlesticks and everything that have been made over the years. It's an appealing idea to have that sort of expand. We'll come back to CRMS in a sec, just uh, help bridge that gap. But first, I got to let you know, this is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Support for KDNK comes from Roaring Fork Transportation Authority, online bus schedules and routes at myrfta.com. The MyRFTA bus tracker gives us real-time information for all routes throughout the valley. Info, again, myrfta.com. This is KDNK, and this is Everything Under the Sun. Underwriting on KDNK is an effective way to market your business, reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KDNK's redesignable underwriting packages. Email Greg at kdnk.org. Support also comes from Harmony Scott Jewelry Design, offering a local shopping experience in downtown Carbondale. Handmade limited edition jewelry, voted locals' favorite since 2001. Gifts for everyone from the town you love. Gallery at 199 Main Street or online at harmonyscott.com. Coming up at 4:30, by the way, Valley Voices, supported in kind by Grassroots Community Network, this week featuring a discussion of the natural history of Colorado on cable channel 82 in Carbondale and on the Grassroots TV YouTube channel. All programs are permanently archived at grassrootstv.org. And this is Everything Under the Sun. We got about 10 minutes left here to talk about things in the Sober Sun this week. Again, still a call-in show, 963-2976. We've covered things going on at Thunder River Theater. We've covered a little bit about Kelsey Goodman's planned resignation. We've covered Classic Movie Night coming up on Monday, and we're in the middle of talking about CRMS and some of the cool things going on over there. That's Colorado Rocky Mountain School, if you're unfamiliar, just over there on the edge of town, sometimes in their own bubble, but about to do participate in an archway that we're looking at. What was that, October?
Yeah, so there's tons of people that have come together to make this happen, right? It was, my understanding anyway, is that it was Olivia's kind of early design. Amy Kimberly over at Creative Arts approached Olivia, and the way that Olivia described it to me was they dream about it and then it go by the wayside, and then they dream about it and it go by the wayside, and now it's happening. And that is definitely because of people like Joe Burley out of Roaring Forge and Green Line Architects and Big Steel Productions, have a lot of those guys that have a lot of experience making the bigger infrastructure are kind of helping with that. So the timeline is that the arch will be in place in August, and then it will kind of morph into its more artistic iteration in October.
Excellent. And then the other thing that we wrote about with CRMS this week, or you wrote about, I'm not going to take credit for it, although I shot the photo.
Yeah, so you
that's
did.
My role.
It's a great photo.
Oh, thank you. climbing. That's you know, we've got kind of this contrast between Roaring Fork. They're moving on in their basketball. We'll talk about that in a bit. And CRMS, always the outdoors school, looking to compete in a climbing competition. Sounds like they've done well in the past.
Yes, they have. They have quite the streak. It was really neat. And I mean, you know, you were there. That was the first time I'd actually been in the climbing gym. And it's a total bouldering gym. Tracy Wilson, who's the program director out there for the climbing program, you know, kind of was like, I'd love to have a ropes course, but I just don't have it. And yet, even not having access to some of the fancier gyms that exist on the Front Range, having lived in Boulder, I can attest to that, they still completely dominate. The boys have won 6 years in a row at state championships. The girls are have won twice. They're looking at a third time, hopefully, here, knock on wood. But it was neat seeing how collaborative it was. You know, even as I'm interviewing with Tracy, and a couple girls came up and were like, oh, we're done with our exercises. And of course, they're panting. And I can't even imagine. I'm in the worst shape of my life, right? And I wouldn't be able to feel my arms if I was doing what some of these kids were doing. And yet the energy from Tracy was just, yay, okay, go have fun, climb whatever you want. And they did. And it was just so neat to see people helping each other. And, you know, there's this sense of it's a competition, right? And yet the competition is between the kid and the wall, the kid and the problem. It's much more problem solving. And I really, really loved that. That was neat. When I was talking to Andrew Meisler, who just made varsity, that's what he said. He actually was pretty clever. I guess you have 4 hours to get through everything, and he chooses to do the ropes first because that way everybody who's done the bouldering has already got some intel and is willing, they call it beta, is willing to share the beta with him about the best routes to approach. So I thought that was clever.
That's very clever. No, I, and you know, the that you versus the wild or you versus the wall is a something I think a lot of folks around here can appreciate. So thanks for getting that together. We'll be keeping you informed on how they do. Also going to keep you informed next week on the results of the district tournament for basketball. The Roaring Fork Rams moving up in the ranks, second in the league so far. Pretty good RPI. We'll talk RPI at some point if we can get into that because it's kind of a complex process. But good shot at state. And their big rival in the league anyway is Coleridge. I caught up this last week with a couple of folks. If any of you know Luron and Jackie Thompson, I imagine that's a pretty good bet. They have grandkids on both teams, and they're, it's kind of that same thing. You know, they have some competition with each other. They're actually a little more competitive on the track and field end. They're doing the high jump and they're able to go head to head and check the times on that. They don't necessarily, they're part of a team when it comes to basketball. You know, at one point Justin managed to go up there and block his cousin off the board and took some great satisfaction in that. But Coleridge ended up winning that first game. You know, I guess they both got their satisfaction out of that one. I don't know if you had a chance to browse that one, but
only very, very quickly. I always, you know, I am in the middle of a boot camp right now, doing SAT prep with CRMS and then also eking out a paper and whatnot. So I'm hoping tomorrow morning I'll have some coffee and really dive in. But I love the idea of cousins that are in the area. And I imagine that must happen in the Valley. That has to.
Especially with those old families, I think, with, you know, the people who have been here for a long, long time. You know, the Thompsons, the Thompson House, Thompson Creek, there's some deep history on that front. So, and all their kids stuck around here, which is something that you don't necessarily see given the economy. So certainly a cool dynamic and just a fun way to dive in a little deeper as we move toward districts. And then if the Rams were to win districts, they'd be hosting regionals here next weekend, and then they'd be off to state, presumably, the week after that.
When was the last time they were at state? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. I think the Trey Moxley era was the last time they went deep into the run there. Although they did, they made it to the Sweet 16 last year, and actually both they and Coleridge were eliminated in that round. So, you know, Roaring Fork does have a history of athletics. It was actually one of the things that they were saying to me. You know, Roaring Fork and then the Front Range schools, they've had wins. They've built that tradition, and you know, at a small school, it's gonna wax and wane. Some years you're not gonna have a lot of interest. We saw that with the football team. Some years you're going to have some really great athletes who are going to play on every team and do well in every application. Luron himself was a basketball star back in the day, won state with the team twice. During the era that I was going to Roaring Fork, there was a 54-game winning streak in league that Aspen managed to break. Like 4 years in a row or 5 years in a row went to the state tournament. Two of them went to the championships, got beat by the same team both times. I was not playing. I was in the stands, but I can express the frustration that folks experienced with that. You know, it's that legacy really helps, and Coleridge kind of then has something to prove. They have not. They don't have a title to, at least in this sport, to under their belt to show what they're worth. They seem to be consistently ranked under Grand Valley in the subjective rankings, even when they're having a better season. So there was definitely some frustration of like, these are the kind of the underdogs, but they're at the top of the league. So I think there'll be a cool story to follow, maybe not for the Soper Sun if it's not the Rams, but cool story to follow regardless of which of them, if either of them, because Grand Valley or Delta or somebody could still come up and pull up an upset. It's a fun league and a fun thing to follow. And neither Megan nor myself are great sports aficionados, but
no. But I like the way you talk about it. I'm like, all right, there's drama here. I can sink my teeth into the story.
You know? Yeah. Well, I mean, when it's your home kids, when it's the folks that grew up here, and you know, when there's an Eastlantic or a Thompson or you know, there's a lot of old names on both the boys and girls teams that, you know them, you know the people, you know their history to some extent. You don't necessarily get to hang out with them like I got to with Justin a couple nights ago, but you have a sense of investment that I myself at least don't find in big sports. So, Megan, anything else in this paper, since we got about 2 minutes left, that struck you or that you were particularly interested in? You had an R town. Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, that was fun, and that's kind of been what we've put in the what we call the can, right? I actually had that conversation with Bay a while ago, and it was nice to revisit it because I hadn't fully transcribed it. It's been one of those things that wasn't timely, so coming along, and it was fun to go back and listen. She's just such a neat lady, and there was so much that I actually had to edit out from our conversation. I mean, I just was like, how did you find yourself owning a laundromat, right? And, well, you know, she used to work as a domestic abuse advocate, and she used to live in England, and she actually had a stint with ovarian cancer while renting her first laundromat, and despite all of that and having a tumor removed, decided, you know what, no, I'm going to do this. I'm turning 60. I want to work for myself. I want to have something to show for it. And she really, really does see it as being a part of a community. And I thought nothing showed that more to me than her little hall of fame of all the little kids that she gives crayons to while they're waiting on their parents to do laundry. Mm. And she takes photos of them proudly holding their art, and she puts it up in her little hall of fame. And I loved her perspective. She was a very cool person.
Yeah. I think the R towns in general, and this one in particular, are just great examples of how everybody has a story, which is why we do them, why we hope people will continue to pitch them to us. This is Katie and Kay, by the way. I am Will with the Sun. We are signing off and turning things over to Valley Voices. Thanks for tuning in.
Cheers.